Today I'm talking about love, and love is everywhere. I mean, love is in the air. It's in TV shows, it's in songs, and unfortunately that's not always good because people come up with their love that abandoned them. People can think of, you know, somebody that said they loved them and then they did not show that love. And when we say that God loves you, which is I'm very sure of, someone invariably is going to say, well, if God loves me, then why is my life turning out the way it did? If God so loved the world, then why is there a virus in our world? If God loves me, why didn't he save my dad? Why didn't he save my mom? Why didn't he save my child? See, today, love actually, the feeling that I'm getting from so many people is that love is overrated. There's an old rock song that said, love hurts, love scars, love wounds, love marks. Love is like a cloud. It holds a lot of rain. Love hurts. And it's no wonder that people have a hard time with the whole idea of love because they base love on how they've been treated. And they base love on their expectations of God. And the problem is we've misunderstood love. We've attached human failures to the love of God. We have made what's happening in our sinful world a fault of God. And so therefore, if God is like this, then I don't want that kind of love. And that's exactly the way the devil's working today, because if people really knew what God's love was, they would all want that love for their life. So when I tell you that God loves you, it's something deep, and it's something profound, and it's something life-changing, and it's something that you really can experience it. So let me give you a few insights into God's love today. The first insight, love is the center of God's nature. God isn't this mystical being that decides every now and then to be loving. God is love. It's who God is. It's the very center of his nature. All of his other attributes surround love. So God created the world out of love. His love existed before the world. His love is eternal. Looking back here, if you have your Bibles, look at Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. This is what it says. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. You know, the Mother's Day gift, ironically enough, the sermon was already done before this, use this verse on it, on that handbag there. It's a great verse. God is love. His love is perfect. His love is everlasting. There's nothing we love in this world that can compare to God's love. But there is things we love. There has been some things that I have been missing while I've been cooped up. And one of those things is Dairy Queen. I love Dairy Queen. I love Dairy Queen ice cream. I love blizzards. I've been thinking about blizzards. I've been thinking about banana splits. I've been thinking about Dairy Queen. Remember, I'm used to traveling on the road. I got a lot of Dairy Queen, but not recently. I love Dairy Queen. But that kind of love is not even in the same universe as the love that God has for us. Now, maybe you've been happily married, and you say, I love my spouse. And you would do anything for your spouse. You would help them. You would sacrifice them. You would for them. You would go without for them because you love them. And I think that's beautiful. And I think that's love. And that kind of love comes from God. But my friends, that's not enough to even begin to describe how much God loves you. His love is eternal. His love is perfect in every way. And on our very best day, when we are loving somebody, our love can't even begin to compare to the love of God. See, love started with God. Love originated with God. After Jesus told the parable of the vine, he adds additional insights and he puts it all together to interpret what he's talking about. John 15:9, Jesus says, "As the Father loved me, so I have loved you." God's love came first. It was perfect. It was true. He loved his Son. He is the standard for love. This world, whatever the world calls love, is not the same kind of love. So what does it mean when I say that God loves me? The second insight, Jesus is the expression of God's love. So turn with me here to John 15, and I'm going to be reading verses 9 and 10. "As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Jesus is pointing out, as he's done in other places, that he and the Father, even though they're one, even though they're both divine, even though they're perfect, there are differences. God's love is eternal. It existed before the creation of the world. The story of the creation itself, out of love, God created the world. And then he created people. There was a loving relationship between God and people, and then people forfeited that close relationship with God. God loved them. That's why he created them. But when people sinned, it messed everything up. So let me get practical here. Do you know why there's a virus in the world? It's not a creation of God. Now, you might be able to trace it back to Wuhan, China, but it goes back further than that. It's all a part of man's choice to continue to sin against God, to rebel. So we are living in a sin-warped world. But God is still love. And he loved people all throughout history. The history of the Old Testament, there was tabernacle worship, there was prophets, and there was judges, and they spoke for God. But there still wasn't a clear human picture of what God looked like until Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." So don't gloss over this. This was an act of love because Jesus says the Father loved him. So why in the world would you ever want to send your child to a world like this and know that they were going to be killed? No way. No way. It does not make any sense. But God loved the world. That's us. And he also loved his Son. Now there's a scripture here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 that gives a good description of Jesus. It says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." God sent Jesus in human terms. Jesus is described as his Son. And Jesus, it says there, is the exact representation of God. He is the very character of God. If you want to see God's love, then look at Jesus. Now, Jesus accepted the command to go. Jesus was commanded to go, and he obeyed the command. He humbled himself, and out of his deep love for his Father, he went. And he took on the role of a servant, and Jesus said, "I've kept my Father's command." And he came to this world out of obedience and love. Jesus was God's expression of love. So he was perfect. He held nothing back. He loved people. He loved, obviously, sinful people. He wasn't too good or too superior not to speak to people. Jesus was gentle. He was truthful but loving. He described himself as the Good Shepherd. And he was patient with his disciples who were always trying to be the greatest, always doubting, always afraid, always insecure. He loved the crowds, even though most of them were just there for a handout. He still loved them. He even loved the lepers. He loved people with viruses. He loved the cast, uh, castaways of society. John 13:1, these are words spoken before Jesus was going to die. John 13:1. So what was Jesus thinking about before he was dying? This is what it says. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the end. What was Jesus doing before he was arrested and before he was crucified? He was loving his disciples. God is love, and Jesus is the perfect picture of his love. And the love Jesus has for us is eternal and unchanging and unstoppable. Jesus is so patient with us, isn't he? He's so patient with all of our failings and all of our weaknesses. And even though we're afraid sometimes, and even though we're worried, and even though sometimes we get a little panicked, he comforts our fears and he meets our needs. Jesus is the perfect picture of God's love because he is God. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, one of my favorite verses. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You cannot stop God from loving you. Love is the center of God's nature, and Jesus is the expression of that love. And you may say, well, okay, that's great. God loves me. Well, how do I experience that love? The third insight, to experience God's love, we must yield to it. So, looking back at John 15, and I want to read verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. This is what I want to focus on here. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So how do we experience God's love? Well, it's not that hard, because his love has always been. His love was already there. He loved us first. He loved us before we were even born. I know this isn't popular to say, he was loving and caring for us while we were in our mama's womb. His love has been there all the time. So, go ahead and pull up the next picture there, Jake. A little baby is born into the world. Mama loves the baby. Daddy loves the baby. Grandma loves the baby. Does that little baby know about love? Does that baby understand love? No. Because that baby doesn't even know what love is. But as that baby grows and matures, he begins to understand, I'm being loved. Well, God loved us the same way. We didn't even know it. And then a person begins to discover that God loves them. Maybe a parent tells them, God loves you. A Sunday school teacher says, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross. A friend says, hey, listen, I love you and I'm praying for you. A coworker says, you may not have heard much about God, but he loves you. They learn about Jesus. They learn about the cross and they discover his love. Now, when you are loved, it demands a response back. So that little baby, as the baby grows, they begin loving back. As they grow older, they learn that loving their parents involves things like chores, work for them to do. So out of love and fear, and sometimes that fear is a little imposed on a child to teach them, a child obeys their parent. Jesus said it this way, if you keep my commands, you remain in my love. So people have misunderstood the Christian faith. They think it's a religion where we're keeping a bunch of rules. No, the Christian faith is about loving Jesus. It's being in a relationship with him. And when we're in a relationship with him, we'll do what he has said for us to do. So when we do, this is a key point here. When we do what God commands, If our love comes from Him, then we are going to experience His love because we're living in His love. So if you're a parent, I mean, if you love a parent, out of love for them, you're going to respect them, right? You're going to listen to them. This has been going on for thousands of years. If we are in Jesus, if we're in His love and we're obeying Him, then we're going to have a relationship of joy. So obeying Jesus is not unreasonable if we love Him. If we really love Him, we're not going to have any trouble obeying Him. So what kind of commands has Jesus given us? Well, let's look back at our text. John 15, verses 12 through 15. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have been made known to you. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. Jesus' command was to love one another. In the parable of the vine, a branch is attached to the vine. It is given nutrients from the vine. It's given life itself. We are a branch, and we're attached to the vine. We are attached to Him. We're dependent on Him. So when the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, God's nature is given to us. So what is the center of God's nature? Love. His love pours into us. He's caring for us. He's pruning us. He's making us into what He wills. And so we will begin to produce fruit. And what kind of fruit will we produce? Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love. So when you're attached to Jesus Christ, you're going to start changing. You're going to start loving people because God's life and His nature starts with making changes in you. Over the years, I've learned that preaching on love is not always liked. Can you believe that? Sermons on love are not always popular because people do not want to be reminded how they should love somebody in their life. But a sermon on love ought to be enjoyed and embraced by all Christians because if Jesus is living in your heart, you're naturally going to be loving people. You'll want to know, well, how can I love people like Jesus? See, I have learned that the more that I show love to people that need it, the more I feel and experience the love of Jesus because I know that I'm pleasing my Savior. When we love like Jesus, His love flows out of us, and the world says, wow, those Christians really know how to love. A Christian loves knowing that whatever they do for others, they're doing for Jesus. The Bible says that a Christian's love is evidence that they are an authentic Christian. So when Jesus is in your heart, you're forgiven. You forgive so many times, you can't even keep count because you are forgiven yourself. His love takes over your life and you begin acting like Jesus and you begin following His example. I played that video for you today, not only because I wanted you to see a little bit about my family, but my grandpa, which I loved dearly, was imperfect. He wasn't a perfect man, and he was, I never felt this, because I felt very close to him. He and I related very well, and I felt loved by him, no problem. But my grandpa was not the kind of person that expressed love. He wasn't one that said, I love you. He wasn't the loving daddy that you'd sit up on his knee. That's just not how he was. And so not everybody felt his love, and not only that, he had imperfections in his life. He had things in his life that were, he had sinful habits in his life. Okay, so my grandpa was a drinker. Okay? And so I don't understand it, but there's some Christians out there that will see somebody like my grandpa and say, he doesn't deserve to be loved and honored because he was a sinful man. Well, I'm sorry to say, we should honor. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. It doesn't say whether or not they've been sinful or not. But somebody like my grandpa, he provided for his family, he worked hard, and he has so many wonderful qualities in him. He was difficult by some to love, but that doesn't mean we don't love him. That's the way the love of Christ works. We love people around us, even if they have faults, even if they have sins, because here's the catch, we all have faults, and we all have sins. A Christian is a reflection of Jesus. We love the unlovable. So someone says, well, I just can't love this person. And I can, if you told me some reasons why you're having a difficult time loving that person, I might agree with you. I might say, wow, I can understand how you would have a difficult time loving them. But here's the thing, if Jesus is living in your heart, you can love anyone. May not come from you, but it's going to come from him. See, we're just a branch, and we're attached to the vine. And a vine gives the branch life and power. Christians are by nature loving people. We get it from our Father. That's where we get it. So this presented a real problem, you see, when the government said, you should stop going to public worship. Well, Christians, I'll speak for myself. Christians like me did not like this idea. Because now we want to be safe. We want to be safe, but we want to worship. We want to worship with our church family because we love them. And the world is telling us, listen, you don't need to go to church. Just stay at home. Watch it online. It's the same thing. So we did. We tried to stay home and we tried to watch it online, but it wasn't a substitute because we have love. We enjoy being with other Christians. Loving people is from God. It's who we are. We are a spiritual family. 1 John 4:7 says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. A Christian doesn't want to be kept away from other Christians. They can't help but loving people. They want people around them. They don't do good in isolation for long periods of time. Unless you are sent off to the island of Patmos as a prisoner, then you can't do much about it. The world doesn't understand, though. They look at Christians and say, you all are crazy people. Because in their mind, all they see is a church building, and they see us getting together, and they say, well, you sit around, you listen to a sermon, you sing music, and you give an offering. That's it. You can get that anywhere. They've missed it. That's not what the church is. There's so much more. Jesus is the expression of God's love, and when I see the cross, I'm reminded of his love. Well, who wouldn't want to know the love of Jesus? Well, I'm afraid there's a lot of people. A child grows up being loved by a father and becomes of age, and he decides he doesn't want to love. He doesn't want to live under his father's love anymore. He doesn't want to be obedient to him. He wants his inheritance. So he's done with his father. He wants to go out and he wants to live his own life. So he goes out and he takes his inheritance and he spends all of his money and he loses everything. And he's at a low point in his life, and his thoughts go back to his father. And he realizes he's blown it, and he realizes he's probably given up the right to even be called a son anymore. And he's thinking, well, my father probably doesn't love me anymore. Maybe I can just go back and get a job as a servant. But he didn't know just how much his father loved him and how amazing that love was. So he started to go back to the father, and his father was there waiting for him. See, his father never stopped loving him, and when he saw his son off in a distance, he's filled with love and compassion, and he runs out to meet him. He throws his arms around him, and he kisses him. The son walked away, but the father never stopped loving him. The son had to come back and yield to his father's love. And that's the choice of every person. God loved us first. He sent his son. He showed us the love of God, but we have to yield to that love. If there's one thing that I've learned in all this stuff that's been going on, is that our time is limited. God's love is eternal. It's available to us, but we have to come to him. We have to yield to him. Now, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how you've sinned. But what I'm sure of, I'm very sure of this, God loves you, and that God is waiting for you to come back. So we're left with a question, do I love God? Am I doing what he commanded us to do? When people see us, do they say, now that's a Christian. That is a Christian. They know how to love. Now, if you're struggling, if you're hurting, if you're depressed, if somebody has really deeply hurt you, and you can't seem to get over that, I can tell you one thing, there's someone that loves you, and that is God. And his love is available to you. Don't despair. Don't lose heart. Because everybody can give up on you, but God never will. His love is always available to you. So we're going to be singing this beautiful chorus, and I want you to just think about rededicating your life and rededicating yourself to be loving to people everywhere you go, and those people that are a little difficult to love.